You're listening to The Dan Nichols Show.
Well, this week on The Dan Nichols Show, one of the most exciting young comedians in South Africa won the Savannah Breakthrough Comedian of the Year award last year. He has sold out audiences not just across South Africa, but in the UK. He's dazzled audiences in the Netherlands, and he has also reduced both Brian Abana and Sivengezi to tears on the paddle court. But what is most relevant as we kick off a much-anticipated conversation with Jam Jam is the scarf that you happen to be wearing. And if you are listening to this rather than watching it as podcast rather than vodcast, it is an Arsenal scarf. And I noticed on the way in you were taking the price tag off it and stuffing a Manchester City scarf into your backpack. So 48 hours into an Arsenal title victory, and we have a new football club to support. Welcome, Jam Jam.
Thank you very much for that lie. No, as you can see, this is wear.
It is well worn. You've had that a while.
You can see this is wear and tear. This has been with me for donkey years, as they say. And I think we champions, so we obviously meant to celebrate.
Well, it's one of many things you have to celebrate. Chiefly, though, is this extraordinary career in comedy. And it seems like a couple of years ago, Jam Jam was not somebody on my horizon at all. Now I've actually had to put a Jam Jam filter onto Instagram. Yeah. Otherwise, it's the only content that seems to be there. It's the kind of meteoric rise that's meteoric to us from the outside. But for somebody who's gone through it, you know actually where it started and all the work that's gone into it.
Yeah.
And that overnight success does take decades and decades.
Yeah.
That said, it does seem like the last couple of years have been pretty damn cool for Jam Jam.
They have been. I've had some great experiences. Like you say, won an award, traveling to the UK, traveling to Netherlands for comedy. That's stuff that I didn't even think was possible when I first started. Because when you first start, you play in these dingy pubs off of Loop Street and Kloof and all these places where you like, nah, man, this is just a hobby. This can't be a real career. So when you're playing in those clubs and those dodgy pubs, you never think, yo, you're going to do a sold-out show in London and whatnot. But, a lot of stuff that I've been able to do over the past couple of years has been because of the social media following that I have, and also the community, like the people that are part of my community and social media are very supportive, and they put me in places where I've been able to, you know, have these great experiences working with the likes of Trikus, Sia Kolisi, Dr. Kumalo, like people that I never thought I'd be sharing the same space with them. So I'm very grateful for, you know, how my career's sort of picked up in the last couple of years.
Rewind to the very start. Here's this kid in the Eastern Cape who I've got no doubt had plenty of character, made friends laugh, was a source of entertainment. But it's one thing to be the kid the other kids like to be around because, hey, he makes us laugh and he's fun. Quite another to turn that into what you actually do. So what was the transition point? When did Jam Jam start thinking, well, hang on, yes, I'm on track to be an engineer or an architect or an astronaut, but actually making people laugh is something I want to give a try.
I was on track to just being unemployed. I was on track to being unemployed. There was no real trajectory anywhere else but the unemployment line. But at school, funny kid. But I always tell people what people don't realize with stand-up, mate, there's people that are funnier than most stand-ups, but they just don't know how to craft it into a joke and be able to, the rhythm and all the stuff that goes in with crafting a joke. So there's obviously funnier people than people that do stand-up. But one of my friends, this guy called Vuyisa Qaba, who's now a director who does stand up as sort of on the side. We went to high school together in Grahamstown at St. Andrew's College, and he started doing comedy in 2014. And then he was like, yo, man, he hit me up and he was like, you need to try this thing, bro. You're going to be good at this thing. I promise you, just go like work at it. And I didn't do it until 5 years later. So from when we spoke 2014, 5 years later, 2019, was the first time my dad did stand up, and I haven't stopped.
For many people, just the thought of speaking on a stage is terrifying. Public speaking is a phobia for many people. Take that up another level to now you don't only have to stand on stage, you've got to make a very expectant audience laugh. And audiences at comedy shows are not famous for being sympathetic. Yeah. If you're not working, they will let you know very, very quickly. Yeah. So how was that first experience? How absolutely terrified or quietly confident were you?
Oh no, I was terrified and I was bad as well. I look back at some of the clips. Oh man, and the place, so this place doesn't exist anymore, so they can't get any bad publicity from this. But there used to be a place called Nomad Bistro, which had like a comedy club, and from Monday to Wednesday you could sign up. You go there, there's a host, and you sign up. And I remember the first time I did it was a Monday, signed up. I was just like rambling on, and like, I'll never forget this. So they used to have like this ribbon wing special, and like that was also the big, you know, selling point. Come eat ribs and wings, and you know, you get a laugh. And this lady in the front was just saying it to her partner, but saying it quite loud, like, "Oh, I can't take this. Who's next?" And yeah, that crushed.
It's not the feedback you want as you start your comedy career.
I was just like, bro, you didn't need to say that out loud. Like, you know, you could have just kept that as a private conversation. But she said it loud enough where, and then I just panicked and I was on stage and I was just like, wow, this is going, I thought it was going badly, but it's actually going worse than I anticipated. And then I was like, yeah, I need to find a real job, man. I did once and I was like, no, I don't know.
So how long was the gap between that first one and getting such delightful feedback and summoning the courage to try it a second time?
Oh, 3 weeks.
Okay.
I took a break for 3 weeks and then, I came back.
So what made you go back?
Because I was just like, there's no way I can be bad at this. And I, like, it was a pride thing. It was like an ego thing. It was like, because I was known as a funny guy in my friend circle, known as a funny guy in school. I'm like, there must be something I'm good at. Come on. Like, you know, this, I was asking the universe, like, come on, surely I'm good at making people laugh. I've been doing it for free in school for a long time. And in my friend circle's like, come on, just give me a chance. And then I just went back 2 weeks later and I was still bad, but then I just started going consistent real.
And that's the key to getting anything right, be comedy, committing, putting in the time and waiting for that moment when you get over that hill. What was that first moment? Was there a show where you heard the genuine laughter, where something clicked, where you thought, you know what, I might have actually found my space?
So it started in like, I started 2019. In 2022, that's when I started finding my feet and actually writing like decent jokes and started to get like real reactions. I started doing proper performances. And then that year there was a competition run by Eddie Cassar. I don't know if you know him.
Jive?
Yes, I was in the final of the Jive Funny Championship. And obviously the winner of that gets
the Yasin Barnes trophy.
Yeah. Gets to hang on to the Yasin for a month.
And then second place is 2 months spin
my I got sixth place, so I had to hang out with him for a year.
He's now living with you in your spare room.
So I did that, and then that's when I started to see, oh, okay, there is more potential here. I just need to keep working here.
One of the first times I had you come up in conversation, I was chatting to some comedians, and somebody said, you need to look out for this guy called Jam Jam. And the exact words they used were, he's the new KG. And visually, okay, well, here's two big guys who do comedy. I've known KG for a long time. He is author of one of my all-time favorite South African jokes, where you will have heard this many times because you know have a good relationship with him, where he speaks about anybody whose parents, as black South Africans, haven't done well, haven't got a tender. Clearly, they didn't do enough during the anti-apartheid years. Yeah. And it's one of those wonderful, slightly uncomfortable, slightly brilliant jokes that he's really, really good at. But he's been one of those comedians, and I'm sure there are many others, but who has believed in you, who's who's given you direction and he's helped to shape this raw talent and give it the focus that, that it probably needed.
Yeah. So with KG, funny enough, he is like direct my mentor and my favorite comedian. And with him, funny enough, the first time I saw him was on your show. I don't know which other guests there were, but he was just killing on your show. Like everything he said, the crowd was just going wild. And like you say, as a fellow big guy, a fellow plus size model, when you see your brother on TV and he's just killing, I was like, yo, I want to be this guy, man. That's a guy I want to be. Like, if I get into comedy, that's the person I want to, sort of hang out with. And, at first, he thought I was weird because I went up to him and I was like, yo, bro, I used to watch you on the Dan Nichols show. Bro, I got there for it. He was like, yo, bro, you're being a bit weird.
You do have a KG Mochadi tattoo in your arm.
So here at first, he was like, hey, man, like, I'm just a normal kind of guy. He's a very chilled guy. But I was obviously hyped. I was like, yo, man, this is my idol. He's right here. Like, and he was just like, bro, it's chill. Like, and then, he ended up directing my first show, award-winning show. And, he's like one of the closest people I have in comedy. Always there for any advice or any situation that happens. If I find myself in any situation, he's one of the first people I contact. So, that's a great compliment. And if people are comparing me to him, that's a very great compliment.
He's a wonderful man. He doesn't like me very much because I've tried to kill him on several occasions.
Yeah, so with the swimming.
Swimming. In my defense, he could have told me when I asked him if he wanted to be part of a synchronized swimming shoot, where swimming is kind of inherent in what you're suggesting, that he can't actually swim.
I don't know what he was expecting as well, like that you do synchronized swimming outside the pool. Because like you say, it says swimming. It does say, so it doesn't say synchronized walking or synchronized chilling by the pool. It says synchronized swimming. So he was taking chances, I think.
We also took him ice skating. I have very fond memories of him being deeply uncomfortable in that space. But he's also this extremely funny person who does what so many of our great South African comics do, and not necessarily the play on the stereotypes, of which we have many, but the delving into South African life and the crazy bipolar nation that we so often are. And from the Jam Jam I know, just as a fan, it's the love of South Africa, the love of its people, and the love of the experiences that we have that shapes so much of the observations that you then turn into the joy you give us on stage.
Yeah, so for me, I want to say this is the greatest country on earth. Because it's so entertaining. Every day there's something new. Literally every day. Whether, sometimes obviously it's bad news, this how South Africans react and how much we use our humor in situations. And I just, like, this is, as a content creator, as a comedian, this is a perfect country to be in, because it's just, It's literally anything can happen. One day there's no electricity, the next day the president could be impeached, and then next day there's seals running around in the CBD. Like there's just a lot where you just wake up and you're like, what's gonna happen today that could shock me? And then you see it and then you're like, I'm not shocked, it's South Africa. So, yeah.
Matt was thinking exactly the same the other day as I swerved to avoid a 75-year-old woman swimming in a pothole down the road from my house in Jasper. This is the country in which we live.
Yeah, this is the greatest country, I'm telling you.
It's also a country that rewards a sense of adventure, a sense of self-belief, a sense of entrepreneurial spirit. And I wonder if we'd gone back to little Jam Jam many years ago, Jam Jam at school, the family and said, hey, you know what? Fast forward a few years, and this kid is going to be hanging out not just with Sia Khaleesi, but with a visibly starstruck Sia Khaleesi who's having so much fun because he's getting to do something with Jam Jam. Similarly, hey, this little kid Jam Jam is going to be doing the first ever Koza broadcast of an MMA fight. These are things that probably weren't on your bingo card, but part of this journey that you've taken now allows you to share on equal footing a space with our most beloved rugby leader ever, our greatest fighter who's traveled the world. These are things that have become part of your now day-to-day job.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, I would probably not believe, like, as a kid that I'm going to do all this stuff. But, you know, just to give people some insight, the Sia one's funny because I've known Sia since we're 13. So he went to a rival school where my brother was his prefect. So my brother was at grade PE when Sia was in grade 8. And we all lived in the same area. And he lived quite far, but he would come to my friends' houses who were at Grey, and we'd obviously hang out and whatnot. So, that one is interesting to, like, because we met grade 8 and then he became this whole big juggernaut of a player. And then we reconnected years later. And then now he was at our show, me and Anton did the show Comedians of National Unity, and he didn't tell anyone, but he was a guest there. And then he did, like, his whole, you know, chat about how long we go back and whatnot. So those moments for me are very special. I mean, working with Triggers, the first UFC champion for South Africa, that was amazing. When he had won the belt, I basically did the first interview with him, the Super Sports Studio. So stuff like that, even when I started comedy, we can go back. It's like you're saying, as a kid, would you believe this stuff? No. I never thought a lot of this would happen, but I'm glad it did. I've enjoyed it. I'm very grateful for, you know, these experiences.
So just so we have a sense of the context and the importance, you are saved in my phone as Jam Jam. Sia is saved in my phone as Jam Jam's mate.
Yeah, so, I mean, as it should be.
Who's the real Eastern Cape royalty here?
Jam Jam's plus one. That's Sia's new name, Jam Jam's plus one.
Yeah. You mentioned them. You also mentioned Anton Taylor, the evil anti-government activist who really should be in jail for his terrible, terrible antics online. Anton's—he's just a force of nature as an entertainer. And you did that first show together. I think it's gone so well, you're actually coming back in August to do it again.
Yeah.
Which I've seen. It's a very interesting collaboration because you and Anton come from very different points of departure, and yet there does seem to be a genuine bond and a real kinship between the two of you.
Yeah, so he's my older brother's age, so if he would have been matric when I was grade 8. And I met him at UCT, and he was already, back then, he was like this crazy, like, figure. Like, he's got his whole reputation from UCT and whatnot. But me and him really connected when we both started doing the content creation sort of thing. And he obviously blew up first. And then, we just started doing these videos and started collaborating. And then it got to a stage where it was like, we started chatting so much, we realized, oh, we actually get along. Like, and we like the same things, and we both a little bit cooked in the head. And I think that mutual cookedness of the head, like, we started to realize, oh, we both a little, you know, messed up.
I would venture that you are very much the sane one in the partnership.
Yeah, I'm probably the more sane than he is. So then I was just like, I told Anton last year, I was like, yo, bro, you should do comedy. And he was like, I prefer, you know, the videos, content creation. I was like, nah, you can do stand-up, bro. You can do stand-up, and I'm telling you, you'll be good at it. And then we started the process, and then we did Comedians of National Unity. First show on the 25th of April, we did it, sold out. sold out in like 5 days. It was crazy. It was the support and love was crazy. And then now we've got the opportunity to go to, so 1st of August, we're going to Joburg, the capital on the park, hotel. And then we actually going to the UK. So 24th, 25th in Wimbledon. And then the 26th, we are in Dublin. So yeah, this is one of the, probably the biggest tour I've done. And yeah, to do it with someone that you get along with and that someone who's basically one of your best friends, it's going to be fun, man. I'm excited.
Let's just underline that. Jam Jam International Touring Comedian. It's sometimes I think we don't often take enough time to pause, step back and go, you know, I've actually done some pretty cool and special stuff. And you've already sold out shows in London. You will sell out again because this is a very special piece that you've put together. But it's a great set of achievements. You've done some really cool stuff.
Yeah, no, like I said again, man, I've been very blessed to do London 2024, 2025. All the shows sold out. I'm very grateful to the South Africans, of course, that are that side and that obviously still love their country and want to connect with an artist from their country. So yeah, every opportunity I get to go overseas to do comedy is just a big win for me because, I mean, like I said earlier, with even some of the stuff we're talking about, that wasn't even part of the dream. Or I can't say a lot of these things were on a vision board or, you know, I was, you know, praying to Sage or whatever, using
Michael Arteta.
Yeah, that, no, a lot of this stuff, it just happened, man. And obviously there's a lot of hard work that went into it, but the hard work is paying off.
Of course, all of this is only temporary because I know the real goal is Jam Jam, the professional paddle player. And this has popped up a lot. I had lunch with Brian Abano.
We're going to go there. We're going there. Well, are we going to go there?
Do you know my paddle history?
No, but I heard you got injured playing paddle.
Well, that's it. I played once and I snapped my Achilles. And
it means don't ever play again.
2.5 years to recover. I will never play paddle ever again.
Never even think of it. No. You shouldn't even be talking about it.
Look, as a man in my late 20s, I've had to make this decision. I will not play again. I mentioned the age because the hard part was not that I snapped my Achilles, which was awful, and I had a terrible time recovering from it, but that when I was waiting for the paramedics to load me up into the ambulance, one of them asked me my age, and this was 4 years ago, and I said, well, I'm 43 years old, and the young woman who was doing the social media around it gasped, Mr. Nicol, I'm terribly sorry. When I phoned the hospital to request the ambulance, they asked how old the patient was. I said, I don't know, but I think he's about 60.
Oh.
That is what I'm recovering from more than anything.
No, that's insult to injury, as they say.
You're
already injured. Now they're adding a bit of spice.
It's my kids' favorite story. They love that. Wow. They're horrible 60s. Children.
Wow.
Yes.
You don't look 60, don't worry.
No, late 50s maybe, but
yeah, mid 50s on duvety.
The game of paddle though is one I've seen quite a bit. You play a lot with Siv, and it's nice to see Siv finally doing some exercise because he'd let himself go a bit. He was looking a little chubby.
He wasn't looking good, so we ended up roping back in to a strict fitness regime. We had to rope him back in. It was hard, but that game was crazy. I mean, playing with Brian Abana and Siv, probably the two most competitive people in
on earth.
Yeah, and they beat the brakes off us. Like they do. And the thing is, you know, like usually you'd expect, like, I don't know, maybe Brian Abana is gonna feel sorry for us because
you've clearly not met Brian before.
Yeah, no, I saw a different side of Brian that. Hopefully I don't get to see in a long, long time because we've had a very good friendship. And me and Siv is basically one of my mentors, but they held nothing back. It was six love. And then they claimed that they went easy on us and we got 6-3 in the third game. But I said to them, we should have swapped teams at a stage because it was bad. It was that bad.
I think he was just getting started. I think if it had been a nine-game match, he would have come through and won.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like I said to them, I think me and my partner were just starstruck in the first game. So that's why we're still processing that. Oh, we're playing against Brian Abana. But at least they bought us breakfast afterwards, which was pretty nice. That was a nice end to the massacre that just took place. So, yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned starstruck, because it is something that I wanted to ask, because you are now very much a public figure. You are very much a favorite. And in the era of social media, people feel that they know you, even if they've never actually met you in person. And because there is such a We Love Jam Jam feel too, you're the kind of guy people want to come up and give a big hug to and hang out. And you just look like someone you'd like to have a beer with, spend some time with. Has that proved difficult at all, becoming somebody who now the whole world knows who you are, and suddenly you can't just, in the words of the great chef Pete Goff Wood when he was on the show, he can't go to the shops in his pajamas anymore. Has that element changed at all, or is it something you've taken in your stride?
No. I can still go to the shop in my pajamas, man. Like you got to live your own life, man, by your own terms. Obviously, it's a bit different now. People recognize you, come up to you, ask for pictures, which is cool, man. It's all respectable. The only thing that I sort of maybe don't like is if I'm with people, and then if you ask for a photo that you don't recognize the people that I'm with, just, you know, greet them.
I got very upset by that. I was like, I've been in television a long time. You could at least ask me for a picture as well.
Yeah.
Right? Only Jam Jam.
Yeah. That actually happened the other day when it was me, Siv, and Sia hanging out. And like,
please tell me they asked Siv to take the photo of you and Sia.
And then they kept on asking Siv to take photos of Sia. And I
brilliant.
Was like, oh, man, the humility works in wondrous ways.
Because we know how much Siv would have hated that.
Yeah, he would have. Yeah, so he was obviously, because you can see when he gave the phone back, he was almost like, you don't want a picture of me? And they're like, nah, we want with Sia. I've been in that situation with Siv as well, where people want, hey, can you take a picture of me and Siv? And I'm just standing there, I'm like, don't you want a selfie with me or something? I don't know. Like, don't you? Yeah, let's do a video. Let's just make. So, that's very funny, actually. But yeah, for me, it's also just like just be conscious of the people that I'm with, because it's like some people want to like have a full on conversation. And it's like, I was chilling with Dan, like, at least acknowledge the person that I'm with and be like, hey, you. And then, yeah, that's chill. But overall, man, there's nothing bad about, or I haven't felt anything bad about being a public-facing figure. And I mean, people always have positive things to say, you know, like people message or people come up to you, you make my day, you know, all those sort of things. That means a lot. It's not taken lightly. I mean, to have that sort of impact on people, that's what you want from your work. So I'm very happy about how it's played out.
You've also, I'm sure, got friends, family who make sure you stay grounded and keep your feet firmly
on earth. Oh, yeah. My friends don't let me.
Do your old friends, your family, your mum, do they call you Jam Jam? Or
So my name is Kanyisa Babini Jam Jam. So my surname is spelled J-A-M, J-A-M.
And that's where it comes from.
So, yeah. So you, in Xhosa, you pronounce it Jam Jam. But then, obviously, I went to a lot of private schools. So
Kim Jam Jam.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. You guys took it in and ran with it, your people.
Asutus.
Yeah. So, yeah, then I just, I just started as Jam Jam the comedian.
So is it one of those things where, you know, if it's a family member on the phone, it's Kanyisa, you know you've done something wrong.
Yeah. So Kanyisa's usually reserved for my mom and dad. That's when, they've got like names that they call me when they're in a good mood. And then Kanyisa's very like, it's going down. Yeah.
I forgot Mother's Day again.
Yeah, I forgot Mother's Day, or I didn't pay my taxes, something. something along those lines. Shout out to Saws if they watch. Don't worry, I'm going to sort you guys out soon.
Just a reminder that this show is registered in the British Virgin Islands and run off a base of Venezuelan cryptocurrency. You've done so much. You've got some really cool stuff coming up, heading over to London, to Dublin with Anton. I'm not sure he'll be let back into the country afterwards, but you are heading out together. You've got this staggering social media presence, loads and loads of fans. You're now at a stage where the platform has certainly been built and you launch forward from there. Do you start to think about what is next in the journey of Jam Jam, as I like to say it, rather than Jam Jam, and what's going to lie ahead in an ideal world?
In the ideal world, I get more involved in the production part of, you know, stand up. I want to produce shows. I want to direct my first show, and just look at all the opportunities that are available to me, business opportunities, and just really continue to grow the brand and then do a real international tour. I just, for 1 year, just map out all the places where South Africans live and I just go on tour, like a good tour. And yeah, that's something I'm looking forward to building towards.
I've no doubt all of that will happen. Probably loads more. I can already see KG playing you in the biopic of Jam Jam, the movie. Jubi break for him. I leave you with a very personal question as the performer. In the dingy pubs you've played in, the corporate gigs you've done here and there, the sold-out shows in Camden, the work with Anton, what of all of those performances, all of those moments as Jam Jam the performer has evolved, come into being, what's the one that gives you the most pleasure, the greatest sense of fondness as you look back and say, you know, that gig, that space, that performance with those people, that lineup, that was the one that really drove home that I'm in the right place?
It would probably be the work I did with Anton. That was just like the stuff that happened on the night just can't be replicated. Like Sia coming to the show, us doing so well on the night and all the moving parts of the show and just figuring it out. And like we had such a process and the work he had to put in, the work I had to put in, and then for us to produce that, and then for how well it was received. That's probably my favorite moment, and doing it with someone that is your friend, like your actual friend, and, you know, sharing that success and sharing the moment together. I think that's probably, the best I can say for my career.
I love that. It's a very authentic response. I also know, having spoken to Sia, that to get into the show, he had to swap 4 Springbok All Black tickets for 1 ticket to see Jam Jam, which I think he probably got off lightly. I would have charged him 8.
Maybe 10 even.
Jam Jam, I'm glad that we've got you this early in the career, because the next month or two we'll be going to your agents in Dubai and New York, and I know how you superstars work. Far more importantly, though, one of the greatest joys I have in this space, whether we're on television or now having these slightly more intimate conversations on the podcast, is seeing people who found their true calling and found the space that brings out the very best of them. And all the more so when the best of them gives us so much joy watching it unfold. And that's exactly what's happening. And he's still very early days of this wonderful career. Keep enjoying it. Keep making us laugh, making us smile. Try and keep Anton in check. Help him out with the bail when required. And try not let any more ministers kidnap his phone. And best of luck with his journey. I shall be watching as a fan, as I am now and will be. And there's a rather large army of fans therein.
Thank you very much. And thanks for the opportunity. You've given, obviously, a lot of comedians opportunities over the years on your show to broadcast them. And I'm just glad that I also got the opportunity. So, thank you very much.
All right. I will finish by saying it's no longer the new KG. It's just the upgraded KG. And he's going to be on the phone to me in no time. He is just a naturally funny man. If he was in scale to the size of the heart and there, he'd be twice the size he is. Just a wonderful, wonderful entertainer, a natural one therein, and somebody with many, many more laughs to give us. Joining me on the Dan Nichols Show this week and joining comedy audiences around the world in the months and years to come, it's Jan Jan.
You're listening to the Dan Nichols Show.